Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Mystery on the rocks, oh yeah. Mystery on the rocks, yeah. Mystery on the rocks, yeah.
And welcome to another episode of Mystery on the Rocks, the show where unsolved true mysteries and cocktails collide and you listen to the podcast. I'm Masood. With me, as always, is the fantastic Suze Kepner.
Thank you. Yes.
And the brilliant Chris Stokes.
I was 80% convinced you were going to introduce me as Peter.
Not again.
And
if you did, I would have suggested that we just change my name to Peter on this podcast.
It's got a podcasting name.
It is a good podcasting name.
It's great.
And then it would get so far. Yeah. That
Peter's a good name for the white guy that does all of the story bit.
We'd get reviewed again, you know, or picked up on some other article. They'd be like, starring Masood Miles, it's Chris Stokes, and Peter Stokes.
Peter Stokes really makes the show pop.
I'd hate it if we changed my name to Peter. That's when it becomes a hit podcast.
Oh yes,
it was the name Chris that was holding it.
And
back
then going
all along.
going back to the name Chris is more confusing for everybody that started listening.
Yeah, who the hell's Christo? Is he Peter's brother?
What are they talking about?
He sounds the same.
Peter's brother.
I had that fear with my sideburns. I thought they were holding me back for a long time.
Is that where you've grown the full beard?
Yeah.
he let them meet in the middle and they kissed like in Lady and the Tramp. They went...
Yep. Both of my sideburns were actually two little dogs looking either way while eating a piece of spaghetti.
He was one dog looking one way, one dog looking other way. The beard's in the middle saying, the beard. So what? What do you want from me?
I thought for a long time, I was like, maybe that's the reason I'm not getting any work. Oh, no. And then I was like, no, it's because my agent's useless. and I'm talking about another agent, not my current agent. What are we drinking? Chris?
Remembered again recently that on the first episode of this season, I said I was going to make it my mission to replicate a Wham bar and a cocktail.
Yes!
I did.
He's done it!
I did it.
By Holy Jove, shit. He's got he
did
it.
I did it. Oh, I don't goodness. Know whether you can tell, actually, but there is bits of green floating on it.
I can't see.
I grated some limes.
Oh, wow.
I have drunk a lot of it, actually.
It looks really nice. It looks like the good version of my cocktail.
How I did it? How did you do it, Peter? Well, what I did
if
was...
If I did it. How did you do it, Peter?
That's a new section on the show. How do you do it, Peter?
How'd you do it, Peter? It's boop, boop, boop.
It's got its own little jingle.
So it's vodka, blueberry liqueur.
Uh-huh.
I muddled some fresh blueberries as well. There's grenadine Ooh. Syrup and lime juice, and then I grated lime zest on top.
Oh, Chris!
It's got like the pinkiness and the green of the one whole lime as well, juice of one whole lime. So it's super sour.
Ooh, it's
like
got zing.
Bit. And then it's super sweet because of the grenadine syrup as well.
I want to drink it so much.
It tastes very much like a Wham bar.
Which Wham bar though? Are there several different types?
No, the Wham bar is the OG. The classic. L to the, the Wham to the OG.
Oh, no, I can't even be here.
Keep playing.
What have you got, Suze?
Well, remember when we recorded last? Sure you do. I was nodding off, but I had plans for a great cocktail. The great cocktail I had planned was an old fashioned. So I've been watching the new Sex and the City series. And just like that, Mr. Big was a ghost and he texted me and said I was a bitch.
Is it good or
I've
not?
Been it's not very good, but, you know, I'm going, yum, yum, yum. It's all those characters I love from the old days.
Yeah,
it's rubbish, to be honest. But anyway, they want Miranda makes a Negroni and it's like a perfect Negroni, and she's rubbing orange around the inside of the glass before she starts pouring it, and then she realizes she's got a drinking problem, pours it down the sink. That's the and I was watching it and I saw the Negroni go down the sink and went, no.
Not the message of Lucene.
I'm like, Suze, do you think maybe you've got a problem? I'm like, no, I'm not the one pouring drinks down the sink that are perfectly good.
Drinks go in your mouth.
Drinks go in your mouth, into your tummy, yum, 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 feeling funny. So I went, I'm going to make that for Mr. on the Rocks tonight. Nodded off, didn't make it. Just drank coffee liqueur straight from the bottle instead.
Oh, so you said anyway. You had no gin.
Yeah, so I went down to make it. No bloody gin. Was going to make an old-fashioned. No bloody whiskey. Shame on me. Shit. So but what I had was Campari and Frangelico and orange bitters. So I've put some orange bitters in and I've called it a bittersweet.
Yeah.
Ah, because nice. It's sweet. Like Frangelico, bitter Campari. Let me taste it. Oh, yeah, it's pretty nice. Well, I think, actually, what it could do with is a zing, maybe the juice of one whole lime.
Yes. Ah, because it's funny that Campari is one of those flavours that is quite...
It's very strong.
...prominent.
Yeah.
So it's like you need something to just kind of, just take that little
edge off. Like when you have a Negroni, it's basically you're tasting the Campari.
Mostly,
and the edge of everything else. So this, I feel like I've got the same... It's nice though.
It still sounds nice.
Yeah,
it's really a nice ass drink.
It's not. I was worried when I made it; it'd be like Benelin, but it's not.
No, Benelin.
Flaming Suze.
My name is Suze. It's called a Flaming Suze. That's why it's called a Flaming.
It's called a Flaming Suze.
Why are you looking at Masood? It's called a Flaming Suze. I'm Suze.
So, what are you drinking, Masood?
So, as you said, Negroni. Mm. Mine is a Negroni offshoot called Montenegroni.
Hey, I like that. Mama like.
Did it originate in Montenegro?
I don't think it did. It? I don't know. I have to check. What's it? Difford's. Drink guide to see where it did.
I have to consult my book.
Just get this, push his glasses up nose.
What's it?
Bit of a stickler for this.
No, I can't. Rudy Carraro, global brand ambassador for Amaro Montenegro, has his own version of the drink. Oh, no, that's it. I have no idea where it comes from.
Oh.
But I think it's just one of those ones where it's like, you know... It's that thing, I think, I remember earlier when we did this, the cocktail history is so blurry, much like how I feel after several cocktails.
I bet a lot of cocktail history is apocryphal.
Well, if you think about it, if somebody makes a really amazing drink and then shares it, and then they get pissed on it, they can't remember the next morning who came up with what.
And also, like, someone will invent a drink and go, ooh, delicious. It's not a hit immediately. It's not like a Flaming Mo.
Exactly, yeah.
So it'll be... Like maybe in 2 years, lots of bars are doing that drink now. And then they come up with their backstory, like, what happened was I did a backflip and I landed in a vat of grapes and the grapes flew up into my glass, which was just a regular gin and tonic. And then it was delicious.
And then it was, exactly.
And that's how I made the Dirty Feet.
Oh, good God. Filthy. I mean, I'll buy the drink, but I fucking hate that name.
It's like when you have to order a screaming orgasm. I think it is terrible. Oh, you have to. You can't have any other drink. So when I was in Ayanapa, I would order it because it's like...
I can't believe I forced myself to do this.
Oh, God. And you'd be like, can I have screaming orgasm, please? And you wait. And if the barman was a respectful gentleman, which two on the whole island were... they'd go, sure, make one. But most of the barman would be like, well.
Okey
and you'd be like, oh,
here's my
mate.
Number.
Would you like a drink as well?
Mate, I don't even like kissing.
Joke's on you, actually. It's that thing of like how I think like the late 80s through to the, I'd say late 90s, the idea of having a cocktail seemed like such a joke because of all those fucking names.
Yes.
It kind of drives me a bit mad, actually. I'm just like, why the fuck was that? Just... had the stranglehold on cocktails for so long.
Yeah.
It was like, I have a screaming fucker. Or Slippery Nipple.
Slippery Nipple is a disgusting name. It makes it sound like someone's got Vaseline on a boob.
Woo woo.
Woo woo. Sex on the beach. I should say as well, half of my cocktail went on the floor because my mum left something in the middle of the landing, tripped over it. Half cocktail. It didn't go on the floor, actually. A good amount of it went on my fucking laptop.
No.
So I cleaned that
on
off.
On top of it?
On the keyboard. I got sticky keys now. That's a name for a cocktail, sticky keys.
Sticky keys. So this one is equal measures of gin, Amaro, and sweet vermouth.
And it's sweet and not dry.
Yes. I'm sticking with the Samaro because it's quite an interesting.
I think you've had it every episode
for about 3 weeks.
Yeah, since for you, about 3 weeks. Yeah, yeah, since you introduced it. 1, 2, 3. This is the fourth in a row that you've had a Maro.
Is it your Frangelico?
Well, I think it's sort of just something I'm kind of like, oh yeah, let's see, let's push the limits of this fucking.
See what you can do. Whatever. Yeah, no, I get that. Yeah. See what you can. I mean, like, especially when I don't know if you buy something to specifically make cocktails with, and then you open it. Like, yeah, you've got to work your way through it, haven't you? You can't.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
if I buy some whiskey, it's like, oh, that's, I can use that for loads, isn't it?
I've decided here and now, I'm doing it right now, I'm buying Amarula. Because every time you say it, it reminds me of Amarula, which I only ever see in duty free. It's an African vanilla spiced cream liqueur. I'm going to buy it. If it's disgusting, I'll cook with it. Put it on.
Chris, what do you have for us today?
Well, we've had a laugh and it's about to get even funnier.
Ooh, oh, goody. A funny mystery.
We're going to do the Night of the Long Knives.
Oh, shit. Oh, oh God, I better stop drinking.
It is the third in a row of our Nazi Germany.
It's our swastika trilogy.
Yeah. And the best thing about it is that they'll probably come back later. It's just that this is three in a row, so it counts as a trilogy. Yes.
I like hearing about Nazis because one day they weren't in power anymore, and then they were once again. It was under a different name.
And I'm glad you guys are saying trilogy and not threequel, because I'll happily fucking smash someone through our door.
I call it Nazi the Long Knives, the squeakquel.
The squeakquel.
Is that Stuart Little 2, they call it that?
No, it's Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Alvin and the Chipmunks. I thought it was Mouse Hunt 2. No.
Was there a second Mouse Hunt movie?
I don't think there
that
was.
That fucking movie. Nathan Lane. Do you remember Lee Evans was a Hollywood star?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He got fucking nominated for a Golden Globe. It's wild.
Holy shit. He was in The Fifth Element.
He was,
yeah. He was in The Fifth Element. He's legit amazing in Something About Mary, which is what he got nominated for.
Yeah, he's fantastic in that. Yeah.
I bet Lee Evans just went, I don't really want to live in Hollywood and be away from my family. I bet that's the only reason he didn't become a giant star
in
Hollywood.
And I get it, because I imagine that would be quite horrible.
He's obviously not fame-obsessed. I respect him for that.
I feel like we're definitely trying to avoid doing this episode.
I can't drink anymore. Immediately poured some dark matter spiced rum into my drink, and now it tastes like delicious Coca-Cola. Yeah, nice. Night of the Long Knives. Well, I just feel sad for all those Nazis.
So, okay, Chris, go for Night of the Long Knives.
Well,
those of us who
Obviously, Susie's got a lot to say about Night of the Long Knives. She's already said as much that she couldn't wait until we got to this point.
Yeah, I was excited.
Yes. So, Night of the Long Knives is the name given to what was a purge that took place over 3 days. I think it was 3 days.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, June 30th to July the 2nd, 1934. Mm-hmm. So, he's only been properly dictator for just over a year at this point.
Mm.
This is Hitler, in case no one has figured out who he meant. so just over a year.
You said you didn't know anything about the Night of the Long Knives.
A to the H-I, T to the L-E-R, he playing.
it's just been over a year.
Yes, and then, like I said, June 30th to July the 2nd, 1934. The Night of the Long Knives happened. Its official name within the inner circle was called Operation Hummingbird.
Yeah, which is really quite beautiful.
So urged on by Goering and Himmler, Hitler ordered a load of executions.
Mm.
Right, yeah.
Without a legal trial. He just ordered executions. It wasn't like, so you know, for example, the scapegoat for the Reichstag fire was eventually executed.
Yes,
he was tried and put in prison and all of this. None of that for this. It was just sort of like, go and kill them. And he did it to sort of consolidate the power that he'd already taken.
Like gang style, just like gang.
He is. He's proper
style.
Like gangland killings. It's so weird. Yeah.
And apparently also another element of him doing it was to alleviate concerns of the German military about the brown shirts.
What?
So the brown shirts that was the nickname of the Sturmabteilung, the SA. We've spoken about them before.
Yeah, yes.
The German, and they were the paramilitary wing of the Nazi party. They weren't the German military. So
the German
military then had concerns about the brown shirts, and apparently this was meant to alleviate those concerns.
Okay. Fucking hell.
Obviously, there was propaganda put out about this.
The
propaganda was spun it. It was a preventative measure against an alleged coup that was about to happen by the Sturmabteilung.
But, it wasn't. They were just like, no, we'll just get rid of him.
It's like to justify terrible things that they did, they would use national security as the reason.
An excuse.
To remove the freedom of speech and the freedom of the press and everything. They said, we need to crack down because there's a communist coup coming.
Right.
And there wasn't. The Nazis spun it that the brown shirts were going to stage a coup.
Yeah.
So that's why they got rid of a lot of them.
And they did it over the course of like three
years. And it was done mainly by the SS, the security services, and the Gestapo. Mm-hmm.
This is the sort of shit you see in a film about it, where like cars drive up and then you hear them just doors slamming, running upstairs, people screaming. That's fucking nuts.
Goering had his own personal police battalion. They also took part in the killings as well. Many of them killed were like high up in the Sturmabteilung, brown shirts.
Yeah, that's fucking crazy, man. So they just went round, boof, bumped.
Yeah, so the guy that was in charge of the SA was called Ernst Röhm, and he was actually... Sorry, I get choked up thinking about it.
He was... oh, God. Was, this brave man.
What a brave...
Ernst Röhm, he fascinates me.
Well, he was one of Hitler's longtime supporters and allies, but...
Yeah, they were like top pals.
Hitler still got rid of him.
He just fucking dropped him, right.
Well, yeah, I don't think Hitler was like that bothered about friends and that. Yeah. But they did used to hang out and really get on. And you just wonder, what the fuck were they talking about? Because like, we really get on. We sit around, we talk about great TV we like. We talk about terrible people that we hate. Hitler must have been just talking about films he liked with this guy, and also Jewish people. He must have just been slagging off various Jewish people he didn't like.
It's funny that if you imagine you're, let's say, hypothetically, in some weird thing where you're like, okay, right, so he killed his mate. Mm. Yeah, exactly. Like, I can't think of... I talked to lots of my mates about lots of things. I wouldn't want to kill any of them.
No.
Like, that's the person I talked to that about. Oh, I don't want to
kill anyone. I can't think of anyone I'd like to kill.
No. But that's mad that he just went like, right, okay, well, he's a mate. Yeah. That doesn't matter.
A means to an end.
Yeah, it was a means to an end. There were quite a lot of other people were killed.
Yeah.
Including leading members of the Strasserist faction of the Nazi Party. Do you know anything about the Strasserist faction of the Nazi Party?
No. What's that?
Strasserism was a strand of Nazism that calls for a more radical mass action and worker-based form of Nazism.
Oh, yes, these were the socialists. These were the National Socialists.
Yes, of course. I knew that he
got rid of all those.
This is incredible, right? So obviously they were still anti-Semites, but not from a racial, cultural, religious perspective, but from an economic one.
It was to achieve a national rebirth. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so it was like an identity thing for them?
It was called Strasserism after two brothers, Gregor and Otto Strasser.
God, imagine having something like that named after you.
Yeah. Otto was expelled from the Nazi Party in 1930 and was exiled to Czechoslovakia. Gregor Strasser was one of those murdered during the Night of the Long Knives.
Also, I just have to say, imagine being you get expelled from the Nazi Party. What the fuck did you do?
Was it that like, Stuart
nice
Lee
guy,
bit,
maybe? Right? No, he wasn't a nice guy.
It's that Stuart Lee bit where he talks about Dapilov's getting his TV series cancelled by ITV2. He goes, imagine having a TV series cancelled by ITV2. That's like getting thrown out of a pub that's already on fire. That's like imagine getting chucked out of the Nazi party. It's like getting thrown out of a pub.
It's like getting your show cancelled on ITV2. We've evolved that joke.
We did it.
So he got chucked out. His brother was part of one of the people who got caught up in this Night of the Long Knives.
Otto was expelled because he opposed Adolf Hitler's views.
Right.
Huh.
Adolf wouldn't like that, to be fair.
Gregor Strasser was initially a loyal supporter of Hitler, but then he became a strong advocate of the radical wing of the party and argued that national revolution should also include strong action to tackle poverty and should seek to build working class support.
Hitler went...
Not music
Hitler
to
went,
Hitler's ears.
Boo! Bad tweet, boo!
Yeah, everyone's silent in the room. Boo!
Boo! raises it. And it's deathly silent. And then, yeah, 5 seconds go by and Hitler goes, boo.
So he obviously was not popular, and so like, he's on the list.
It's maybe Hitler sweat.
Just does Hitler just take out his little notebook and just write something? What have you written down in your little notebook? Nothing?
Nothing. And he'd look at it, he'd cut to the notebook, and it just, he's written boo.
Boo, yeah. Now, I've written boo here. I don't remember why.
I must start writing down names. I hate so many people.
Because at the top it says shit list, but then everything under that is just words that are not even related to the people.
I keep changing it to hit list because it's Hitler.
What do you think? Hit list or shit list? I like shit list, personally. I think it's...
The greatest indignity came when I signed my declaration as Chancellor as Hitler.
I need an assistant.
It's not so bad. Once I signed my name as Gobbles.
I just had turkey dinner. I'd had turkey dinner and I was feeling frisky and funny.
Hey, I hear the Reichstag is on fire, but let us finish our dinner. What would your porn star name be?
What was the first Strasser you lived on?
When I went to Vienna, because I've got relatives there, saw a house that looked like Hitler. I'm going to show it to you.
Oh, I've seen the picture of that house, I think.
Oh, it might be. This house really looked like fucking Hitler.
That's so funny. So, Chris.
Okay, I'm going to carry on. I'm going to look for this house.
Okay, yeah, so I brought up the Strasserist faction of the Nazi Party because leading members of that were killed, including Gregor. Establishment conservatives and obviously anti-Nazis were...
Also,
we got rid of. But then there was a guy called, he was a Bavarian politician called Gustav Ritter von Kahr.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And the reason I'm bringing him up is because obviously Hitler was evil. He was also incredibly petty. So,
it's about me.
Yeah, so you've got this big, like, he's a totemic figure of evil over the 20th century. And again, I will keep bringing up Trump because I don't think it's that bad a comparison because he's also as petty as Trump was. So he also used the Night of the Long Knives to settle some like really old scores with people. So Gustav Ritter von
Kahr, he was an egotist.
Gustav Ritter von Kahr, he was a right-wing politician in Bavaria. He helped turn Bavaria after World War One into Germany's center of radical nationalism, but he was instrumental in the collapse and the suppression of Hitler's Beer Hall Putsch in 1923.
Beer hall putsch? I may not be familiar.
Gone to a beer hall putsch.
It was a failed coup by Nazi Party in 1923.
Oh, yes. I thought it was a beer festival he held or something.
It's worth remembering here that the Nazis tried a coup in 1923. Didn't work.
Yeah.
But then he got elected Chancellor 10 years later. Mm.
That's mad that even happened.
And
you know, and people say you don't get a second chance.
So he would lead a coup in 1923, and then 10 years later would go on to remove national freedoms to stop another coup happening.
To start, yeah, exactly, yeah. Well, it's that classic thing of like climbing up the ladder and then pulling it up after you.
Yeah.
I mean, no, that's not the worst thing he's done, by the way. But
no, he's done worse things, but like I can't name them right now.
So Hitler, after the Beer Hall Putsch, he was arrested and thrown in prison.
Okay.
Which is where he dictated Mein Kampf.
Yes. Oh, so this was that reason. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he was thrown in prison for 5 years, but he was actually released after 9 months.
Oh.
Okay.
Not much of a struggle there, mate.
I became man on a mission. So let's say, for example, in this country, this would be a little bit like, I guess... Oh, no, maybe let's look at the US the storming of the Capitol, for example.
Yes. Mm.
It would be like the shaman in 10 years time running for president and getting it.
Oh wow. Yeah, right. Yeah.
That, the guy with the as crazy as that to me. Like the leader of a failed coup who was found guilty of treason and thrown in prison is then leader of the country 9 years later. How does that work?
That's fucking mental.
Anyway,
course, yeah.
So
you know what's funny though is that like that's the future, and he is dumber than people were then. And
yes,
it may happen.
Well, and that guy, he when he got arrested and everything, and he was like crying in prison because they wouldn't give him organic food.
What?
The QAnon shaman. He's called Jacob Tralee or something like that. And he was an actor who wanted, he was a wannabe actor, and it hadn't worked out for him. And he got really into QAnon and stuff. He's, you can see footage of him on the day. He just wants to be a performer. Mm. And it's the same thing with Hitler. Like, he loved the crowds.
Imagine if there was a community theater that he joined, or
if he'd only got to play the lead in the community theater production of A Little Night Music. Like, if he'd been cast as Frederick, he probably never would have gone and to the insurrection, and he never would have ended up
in my head.
Prison.
Though he still has the mustache,
he's got all the body paint.
I think if Hirschfeld, Magnus from last week, when he was making his gay film in 1919. I think if he'd have offered Hitler a part, Hitler would have taken it.
He would have absolutely.
Probably. Hitler loved to be famous.
Means
also,
the movies.
Oh, you can't be serious. I just, please, what? There's weird footage of Hitler, like, meeting.
Do I kiss a man?
Do I get to kiss a guy? And I'm like, no, please, no. not because of the gay thing, just, and I'm kissing, no.
I just don't want to make it weird.
No, I only like to kiss my niece. His niece, not his knees. They found like old footage of Hitler meeting crowds, but obviously there's no sound on it. So they've used lip readers to work out what he's saying. And he's always like being so cute with the crowds. And he arrives and there's this whole crowd there to meet him. And they're all going mental, like he's the Beatles. And he's going, you can see him going like, blah, 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 blah. And the lip readers have worked out that he's saying, what have you all come out to see me for? I'm just some random old man. It's like,
no,
shut up, Hitler.
What a cunt. Oh, me? No, but, I feel like
his
on
faux
top of,
humility.
On top of all of his fucking horrendous shit.
Yeah.
That as well, I'm like,
I know,
on,
it's
mate.
So mental, isn't it?
It's just like, don't fuck him.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, I'm so cute. Oh, I didn't even know why you're here. Like Celine.
Me,
little old me. Like Celine Dion when she goes out in front of crowds in Vegas and she's always just like, I cannot believe it. You have all come out to see me. Like, Celine, aren't you used to this by now?
Yeah. Your name is on the billboard as you drive up.
Celine,
you know
you're really famous for like 30 years.
Yeah, you've known. Anyway, Chris, continue.
Gustav Ritter von Kahr was instrumental in suppressing that coup that Hitler attempted in 1923.
Right. Mm. And so he's held on to this score.
So, yeah, when it comes
like,
to the Night of the Long Knives.
Who's on the shit list?
He was, and he was murdered for his treason during that suppression of the coup. He was abducted from his Munich apartment and tortured by two SS members en route to the Dachau concentration camp. After his arrival... Yeah, so it's like we mentioned, I think, that the concentration camps went up quite quickly.
Oh, yes, almost
very,
immediately, yeah.
Very
yeah.
quickly.
And then, but they
like
weren't...
a pop-up tent.
Yeah.
That's fucking
they didn't. They weren't full of ovens and gas chambers initially. They were just questioning a lot of people who happened to be Jews, journalists, that kind of thing. Yeah.
After after he arrived there, Carr was shot... on the orders of the camp commandant. But there's another account, which is a bit more gruesome, which was apparently Carr was taken to a nearby swamp and hacked to death with axes.
Oh,
Christ,
my God.
That's fucking
insane. That it's the reason that it's disputed is because maybe he was shot first. Either way, his mutilated body was found outside the camp a few days later.
Oh, so someone was trying to make a point like, ha, look, we did this.
This is what happens when you try to stop my coup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mike Who was the name of Hitler's best mate.
Mike Who?
They reckon that Strasser was most likely killed for having been offered a position by the preceding conservative government. They thought they made him a potential political enemy down the line.
Jesus.
And also he didn't get on with Himmler and Goering. And they were sort of like whispering in Hitler's
ear. Why? They were such good guys.
He was shot once in the main artery from behind in his cell, but he didn't die. But the SS general ordered them to just leave him, so he bled to death in about an hour.
Fucking hell.
They're...
It's
Nazis, aren't they?
This whole thing, this like, just feels very much like, yeah, it's like, it is like what would happen if you gave a child power to get revenge on his enemies.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, fucking hell. He's just like, and you, and you're not getting away with it, and you're not getting away with it.
It's that thing of like not seeing the consequences, just going like, yeah, just get rid of him. I wonder how many, oh God. I mean, Hitler was such a sociopath, he never felt guilt for what he did.
No.
But there must have been members of the high up SS going, fuck, man, what the fuck have I done? There was an awful lot of suicide within Germany from Hitler supporters in the last, like, year and a half of the war, apparently.
Yeah, because they're just
and the weeks that followed. Yeah, there was a lot of that. There was also a lot of suicide in the last weeks of the war and the weeks after it, because they could not believe they'd lost. I mean, they really... Hitler supporters really bought into the mission and the Thousand Year Reich. And
There's a
huge
amount
of suicides.
Is there a lot of, sort of those officers, not that it's like it justifies it, but like a lot of them were just like, Jesus, what the hell am I doing? And they'd like sort of just like kill
themselves. Yeah, they would. There's lots of accounts of people having to shoot people. The reason they brought in gas chambers was because they used to just line them up in pits, these Jewish people in the camps, and all the, you know, the Romani gypsies they bring in, homosexuals they would bring in. They would line them up and shoot them and put them in pits. And there was lots of accounts of SS soldiers who were having to do it sobbing while they did it and breaking down and having to be basically pushed back into position. No, you will shoot them. And it's crazy. It's fucking crazy.
That's mad. Yeah.
He ruined more lives than the people he killed.
Which also was if
you're an SS soldier, don't kill families of Jewish people.
Yeah, just don't do it, mate. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, how about just don't do it?
Yeah, exactly. Just be like, nah, I'm not into it, mate. I'm just gonna call it quits.
I think what Hitler did was bad.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I think it was very bad.
Yeah, I don't like it.
In general, or just the Night of the Long Knives?
Yeah, I think it's bad. They're all your friends. Those are your all friends.
Yeah, those are your mates, mate.
No, not all of it. Yeah, not all of
just,
it.
No, just the Long Knives.
Night of the Long Knives, I think was bad.
There was quite a few leading people that were killed in Night of the Long Knives.
Mm-hmm.
But let's now talk about probably the most prominent to be killed in the Night of the Long Knives, which is Ernst Wurm.
Yes, baby.
He was like the overseer of the Sturmabteilung, the brown shirts.
Yeah.
What do you know about Ernst Wurm, Suze?
That guy was gay.
He was
gay as hell, and he was out and gay as well.
He was a really close ally of Hitler as well. And took part in the Beer Hall Putsch, the failed coup.
Yeah.
Yeah. And went to prison alongside Hitler for treason.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Okay.
So in 1930...
And they were hanging out.
Well, they were hanging out. You know what I'm talking about. They were hanging out.
Hitler sent personal request to Ernst Röhm to get him back into Germany because he'd gone to Bolivia, actually, as advisor to the Bolivian army. But in 1930, Hitler requested he come back, made him the Sturmabteilung's chief of staff. He brought radical new ideas to the Sturmabteilung. He appointed several close friends to its leadership. At this point in time, the Brown Shirts had 1 million members.
Holy shit.
It's crazy.
And their assignment was basically protect Nazi leaders at rallies and assemblies. And also they beat up a lot of Jewish people.
Yeah.
Others deemed hostile to the Nazi agenda. But under Ernst Röhm, the Brown Shirts often took the side of workers in strikes and labour disputes.
Okay.
And would attack strike breakers and support picket lines. Because obviously they used intimidation as a tactic. It did contribute to the rise of Nazis and the violent suppression of rival parties during the campaigns. But it did have a reputation for being thuggish.
Yeah.
Right.
There was also like big rumours because of Ernst Röhm being the leader. It was that they were a bunch of gays. What the rumour was. Like,
oh, okay.
The Brown Shirts were a bunch of gays. So newspapers would attack Röhm and the Brown Shirts regarding homosexuality in its ranks. And in 1932, a year after he took up the position, the Munich Post obtained and published private letters of Ernst Röhm in which he described himself as gay.
Yeah.
Himself as gay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They'd been confiscated by the Berlin police in 1931 and then somehow made their way to the journalist at the Munich Post. And when this came out, Röhm acknowledged that they were true. He said, yeah, those letters are genuine. And as a result of this scandal, he became the first openly gay politician in history.
Isn't that amazing?
Under Nazi Germany.
Wow. Yes, we stand a pioneer. Yes.
Hitler was aware of his sexuality.
Yeah.
Their friendship shows that Ernst was one of the few people close enough to Hitler to be able to use the do form of you instead of Z. Do is the informal version of you.
Right.
Is the formal version of you. And also, Röhm was the only leading Nazi who dared to address Hitler by his first name, Adolf, or even sometimes his nickname, Addy.
Addy!
Oh, wow.
Everybody had to call him Mein Führer, except for Ernst Röhm.
I think it's weird to have to call him my dad.
Addy!
Mein Führer!
So,
you're my dad.
This led a lot of people... This is where the rumours of Hitler's sexuality comes from. Because if he was this close to Ernst, and I mean this close to Ernst, does that mean they had... I mean, that may be that he's short-sighted, but... It's where the rumours of Hitler possibly being gay.
It makes sense that these rumours exist, but I think Hitler, his kink was like Hitler to relax, his favourite thing was he would retreat to the cinema room of his lovely big house and watch reel-to-reel footage of cities burning. Like, he loved to do that.
It's
such a
psychotic.
Weird detail,
That's a
isn't
weird,
it? He had
stupid.
A collection of footage of cities burning.
Hitler's sex life is such a, like... It's so prone to being rumours that you hear so much crazy shit that it's all believable because Hitler was...
I'm sure he liked to nut, but...
I think, didn't I read something that one of them was he had this... Because he had this weird relationship with his niece.
Yeah.
But wasn't part of it is that he liked her to shit on his chest or something.
Yeah, that's a rumour. I wonder if that's true.
You know what? I think it probably is. What, he likes his niece to... poop on his chest so his pee-pee can go boom boom. That's fucking the force.
He's Hitler's dad going, are you a sicko? Get yourself sorted out. I don't want to hear about it. Sure, dad. Hitler's like...
Many a family dinner, Hitler would be banging at the window going, family!
Family therapy! Boom, 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 boom. Family therapy!
I think that's the thing. It's like, all of it is so crazy. I have a funny feeling he just, he seems like the sort of guy that would just watch people do stuff and sit there. There's a horrible serial killer, a German serial killer. I forget his name. I think he was called like the Vampire or something.
No, I don't know this guy.
But it was covered on another podcast, and this is pretty grim, but he talked about how he like used to just like blow his load when he was soft. I reckon that feels like something that Hitler would do.
It's a really horrible detail. He used to jizz while he didn't have an erection.
Yeah, it feels like a Hitler detail. Do you know what I mean? Hitler would have.
Hitler
like...
used to watch cities burning. He'd get fully erect and then go, well, I can't nut now. So he'd wait for it to go down. Soft. And then he'd fully lush out like, poof, poof, poof.
Heinrich, ever had a flaccid orgasm?
Please, mein Führer, stop asking me about this.
They're really quite breathtaking.
No, stop it, please. He'd go, oh, that's a bingo.
That's a bingo.
He'd do shoulders. Hey, guys, Chris, Masood, your homework this week. Try and have a soft.
Oh, no, Sue's a day.
Come on, try and do it. Do it for me, Uncle Mummy. Do it for Uncle Mummy.
Oh, God.
Why don't you like that?
That's worse than podcast husbands.
That's so.
You're my little nephews.
You've said two of the worst things you've ever said on this podcast. One after
what, tonight,
the other, yeah, just now.
What was the other one?
Our homework assignment, and then this.
They're all the same
both
thing.
Swim.
No, Uncle Mummy
was so horrific that it's separate.
Chris is like, got his body language has gone like, ugh. As
he's
well,
got, he's gone
Chris
right,
is
he's
going.
Gone
I don't want to be.
I tell you
around
why. I feel vulnerable because I'm in my pajamas.
Yeah, I spotted your pajamas. I've got tartan pajamas on, like a grown up.
Oh really? I'm fully dressed. I don't. There's no vulnerability
like,
here.
I'll get ready for bed when I go to sleep, like an adult at 10 p.m.
I like that he's got his hoodie on and it's zipped up, but when he stands up, he's got a ball gown underneath.
And Sarah's like, "You still dress for dinner?" You're like, "Yes, yes,
good. Yes, Uncle Mummy." Like
she goes, "Be a good boy for Uncle Mummy."
We stand at opposite ends of the kitchen, like a Beauty and the Beast, and come down into the middle and then dance.
Ever just the same.
Sarah's angry because every time you do this role play, she always has to be the Beast, and she's not keen.
She's sick of it, even though the Beast is hot. Anyway, sorry, Night of the Long Knives.
Oh yes,
I can't remember where we got to now. Oh, we're still talking about Ernst
Hitler, Röhm. Hitler getting his chest shattered. Yeah. Röhm.
A lot of people assumed that they'd had a gay romance. Yeah. Despite all of this, and even though he was a close ally of Hitler, he never felt completely under his spell like a lot of other leading Nazis did.
Ooh, maybe that's what kept Hitler so like into it. He was like, "I'll win him over."
Oh yeah, here's someone who doesn't think I'm famous. Mm. Yeah.
So when Hitler became Chancellor in January 1933, the brown shirts were by Goering appointed auxiliary police to sweep aside enemies of the state. So because of that, Ernst and his brown shirts saw themselves as like the spearheads of the Nazi revolution. They were the ones that were actually putting it into practice by going out and doing all of this. As Hitler was taking control and the Nazis were getting a stronger foothold, very quickly, like Germany changed very quickly, very short space of time.
Yeah.
So much so that the brown shirts didn't realise that now he was Chancellor, and very soon after that, the Enabling Act was passed. He didn't need the brown shirts anymore because he had the military.
Yeah, yeah. Right, yeah.
So even though that was the case, he still named Ernst as a minister and put him in his cabinet, but without a department.
Mm. Oh, so he's just... wow, can you even do that?
It's a minister without portfolio, I think, is the term.
Okay, right.
What? Wow.
He
feels a little bit like the Muslim ministers in this country.
Fucking cunt.
After the Enabling Act was passed and he was ruler absolute, he named Ernst, gave him the second highest political rank in the Nazi Party.
Wow. Okay.
And a few more radical Nazi Party members after this, Ernst being one of them as well.
Yeah.
They advocated for a second revolution that was anti-capitalist in its general disposition.
Ruh-roh! My voice went then.
Yeah, cut to a, what's it, like a dog sunglasses like falling down its nose and a record skip.
Along with a lot of other brown shirts as well, like I guess stormtroopers, Nazi stormtroopers they were called as well, weren't they? A lot of them were working class and had working class origins and wanted a transformation of German society, and I think maybe they became to realise that Hitler wasn't the one to give it to them as they had expected because they were disappointed by the new regime's lack of socialist direction. It's in the name!
They were National Socialists. Hello. Fucking sick of that defence on Twitter. Why do Nazis exist on Twitter? Go away!
There's no mystery here, by the way. This is
the mystery is
one of those where we don't have a mystery.
The mystery is how did they get away with it?
I think the mystery is did Hitler's niece shit on his chest?
Did he blow his load when he was soft? That's all I know.
I hate that. I think that's so disgusting. How did it happen though? Scientifically, surely you have to.
There is. I have no idea.
Hard PPE.
I have no idea, but that's, I think that's what makes it so gross is that we don't know.
He was like, leave me alone. I'm hard as a rock.
I think the element of gross out here is first of all the ugh, but then the thought lingers because you wonder how, and then that's the thought invades your brain in a way you don't.
I'm thinking about it every so often. I think about it, and it's there like a little pink lamb's tail, and it's just going like,
oh, that's even worse. Why did you say pink lamb's tail? That's
there you go, little pink lamb's tail, and it's just going like.
That's absolutely it. It's nothing kind
I
of
hate, I hate it, but
it.
Also I can't stop thinking about it. And now never can any of you. Who do you like the way we started this podcast going, huh, I bet we lost a few listeners by being pro-trans rights. And now we're just like, he just was soft.
Absolutely lost and people like, doing that.
We're like, oh, they left us because of that, cowards.
I think maybe I'll put it in the blurb of this episode, actually. Your three heroes. Finally tackle one of the most important elements in 20th century geopolitics, the Night of the Long Knives, and ask the big question, can you jizz while soft?
Is it possible? Can you not
solving the ultimate mystery.
Oh my. So Chris, so as you were saying.
Why did Ernst put himself in the crosshairs for the Night of the Long Knives? Okay, so the Treaty of Versailles limited the amount the German military could have in its ranks.
Okay.
100,000. But because the brown shirts weren't an official military, they had over 3 million.
Ah.
It basically, the SA, Storm of Tyler and the brown shirts, serious threat. Cabinet meeting in February 1934, Ernst demanded that a merger be made between the brown shirts and the military.
Yeah.
So the military would assimilate them, which horrified the military because the brown shirts were...
Thugs, essentially?
Yeah.
And there like, was too many were, of them. Yeah. It's like the Sopranos, but without the cool shirts.
In February 1934, so a little bit later that same month, Hitler told... At the time, he was a British diplomat, but went on to be Prime Minister Anthony Eden. Of his plan to reduce the brown shirts, the Sturmabteilung, by 2/3. That would still be a million people, by the way.
That's still a lot of people.
Yeah, too many, I think.
And then also in February, Hitler announced that the brown shirts would be left with only a few minor military functions, which Ernst did not like. And counter to this, just began expanding the armed elements of the Sturmabteilung. Which was like, first of all, disobeying Hitler, bad move. Second of all, it does look like they're planning a coup against him.
Well, exactly.
They're arming themselves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're arming themselves while under threat. So
they're nutting while soft.
Oh my. What have I done? I've unleashed a
monster.
What
have I done, sweet Jesus? What have I done? Become a thief in the night, become a man on the run.
So they're basically like, they're going the right way for getting a smack bottom, basically, these guys. Yes.
You are heading. My mum used to threaten that. She'd go, you are heading for a smacked bottom. She'd threaten that in public. And I'd be like, she's not going to do it.
She's not going to do it. Yeah, the funny thing is, you see, my mum would have just done it.
She would have fucking done it. Elizabeth would have been like, I'm going
for it. Yeah. She's like, she wouldn't have even warned you. There's no warning shots, Elizabeth. There's no shots across the bow. You're so lucky. This is what I get so jealous about white kids is I'm just like, you're so lucky that you get threatened. You know, it's just like, you'll just be walking. Thwack.
Oh.
That's it.
It's so funny when you say that because you talk like a grandparent talks now. In my day, we just got hit. In my day, there was no...
So these guys, the brown shirts, are basically they're cruising for a bruising by getting amped up, getting armed.
Hitler wanted to reduce the power of the brown shirts, but he was fond of Ernst.
Yeah, he liked him.
So he put off doing away with him for a long time.
Yeah, leave him for later.
Yes,
he's the only one who can get me soft.
That's the worst thing ever.
Terrible.
That's grim. That's super grim. He's the only one. I hate everything about it.
His soft, pukey lamb's tail. If he does it for several minutes.
This episode is just called The Night of the Long Knives. Anybody that wants like a deep dive into a really serious
they're listening to the wrong podcast. They're listening to the wrong podcast.
What if we end up getting cited in someone's dissertation? Oh, their history, a history student, and she's like, over on Mr. on the Rocks, they cited that Hitler could not while soft, and they have to like do a transcript of us going.
Here's an artist depiction.
She has to use a lot of a word count saying, it's not a fart noise, it's the noise of.
Yeah. It's more like a noise you'd use to tell someone to get lost if you were a child, but it's also the sound of jizz escaping from a soft dig hole.
And that's a little footnote. She's put a 13.
It's so long. It's one of those ones where it's half the fucking page, a tiny little font. My mum listens to this podcast. She's going to be like, I fucking hate this. Oh, I was on a podcast about, I was on someone else's podcast, sorry, boys, about Jim Jones, the cult leader.
Oh,
and
yes.
I kept talking about how he had a massive dick. And then my mum listened to the podcast and she went, yes, I'd rather not have, so I think she said, I'd rather not have so many big dicks coming in my ears. And I was like, Mum, think about what you just said. She's like, oh, shut up.
So you, I mean, like, you did the same with Rasputin.
Yeah, I talk about guys having big dicks all the time on this podcast, even if I have no evidence of it. Big old hogs that won't quit.
I forgot that you called them hogs.
Oh, my God.
He's got a hog that won't quit.
It's all farm animals. Lamb's tails, hogs.
My chair keeps going, rah, rah, and it's like the sound of my psyche going, rah. Oh.
So, Chris.
Well, that's the sound of jizz coming out of a soft dick hole.
All soft and gentle.
It's the word soft. I don't like it.
It's so wrong, isn't it?
It's worse than flaccid.
It makes me think of white bread. Why is that?
Oh,
no, I'm with
know.
You on that.
Why the pair of you are weird? Why is that?
No.
Why?
I think it's because that's probably the in my head. That's my go-to of what I would imagine something. I don't know. It's food. It's usually food and soft. Is that
soft
thing.
White
and
bread?
And also on a
like,
menu, it says soft white bread, doesn't it, and stuff. So.
Yeah, to like make it enticing, which is what Hitler was like. Ooh,
soft and right.
Soft and right, my favorite. It's fluffy too.
So
they kept trying to isolate Ernst. Mm. So Goering transferred control of the Gestapo to Himmler.
But he knew, like Hitler knew that obviously, like Ernst was like you know ramping things up. But he was what, trying to separate him to be like, oh, no, then like to try to stop it or like
keeping him away from the action.
I guess. Oh, I suppose so that he could like, keep him because he liked him, didn't he? I suppose he just wanted to have him around.
He's my friend.
Right. Okay.
We love playing double bubble together.
Apparently Himmler presented a dossier to Hitler of manufactured evidence to suggest that Ernst had been paid 12 million Reichsmarks, which is the equivalent of 52 million euros. By the government of France to overthrow Hitler. And leading officers in the SS were shown falsified evidence that Ernst had planned to use the brown shirts to launch a plot against the government.
They so fucking made shit up.
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
Oh my God, Hitler. Oh, this makes me so sad.
So then Ernst made his way onto the list of the people to be killed on that.
Gotcha.
That night.
Yeah.
Because he was seen as a suppressive person.
Even
like
after this, so he was detained. Mm-hmm. But even then, Hitler was hesitant in authorising his execution. Oh, no one knows whether it was loyalty or embarrassment about the execution of an important lieutenant in his inner circle. But eventually he did. And only with he said that, first of all, Ernst should have the option of suicide.
Oh, yes. Right. They left him with a gun. They were like, there you go, buddy.
Yeah. So inside his cell, they handed him a Browning pistol loaded with a single cartridge and told him he had 10 minutes to kill himself or they would do it for him.
Yeah.
And then Ernst said, if I'm to be killed, let Adolf do it himself. But I like to think of it as a bit cattier than that because I like to think...
Yes.
Let Addy do it himself. He's done me so many times.
Addy, you know what? Tell him. You tell him that I wouldn't do it and he has to do it. Hitler, by the way, he did not like to murder directly.
No.
He didn't have it in him. He was like that. He wouldn't ever visit the concentration camps because he didn't like to see all the death.
Do you know how many times I shat on that man's chest?
I did it so much. You know what, honey? That's the last time I shit on your chest and say, call me your niece.
He would come down here, but he wouldn't because he's a coward. He's a fucking coward. You tell him. You tell that fucking
you
coward
tell
to
come
down here.
You tell that fucking coward to come shoot me in the head if he wants. I'll see his soft little dick hole. Tell him he has to look me in my soft dick hole if he's going to kill me.
He's going
to
kill me.
They gave him the 10 minutes. When they went in, they found him standing, and he'd bared his chest like that.
And he'd gone like, do it.
Shit on there.
Shit on this.
He
went, I'm soft as a lamb's tail right now, boys.
And so they killed him. Now, the Night of the Long Knives, a lot of Germans were shocked by it, but a lot of others also. This is still early in Hitler's reign. Mm-hmm. A lot of them just saw it as Hitler restoring order to the country. They helped justify the Night of the Long Knives by, after this happening, making public the homosexuality of Ernst Röhm to give it like a shock value.
That's it, guys. Right. Just be fucking a cunts about it. By the way, this guy was gay, like, and everyone would go, ew.
They'd just like be.
He did a broadcast speech on the 13th of July, Hitler did, justifying the purge as a defence against treason.
It's mad. When you do something like that and no one even knows it happens, and then you tell them this is why they did it, they'll probably believe you because they didn't even know it fucking happened.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a bunch of people were killed. Oh, it was for national security.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't take long for these guys to be able to spin Kristallnacht as like a great thing that happened. Yeah.
So
most of the public went, I love it.
Do you know how many people were killed in Night of the Long Knives?
Do you know what? I don't. And in my head, it's like 30 people, but I bet it's a bunch more than that.
I bet it's like
the numbers differ. There's an official figure, mm-hmm. and then there's an estimate.
Okay.
So the official figure is 85.
Wow.
Okay, that's a lot more than I thought.
Yeah.
But there's another estimate that runs to about 200.
Okay.
But there's another estimate that ranges up to 1,000.
Up to 1,000?
Really?
Yeah. In 3 days.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, that's nuts.
And Hitler had to control of the press, so it's not like the press were going to go like, guess how many?
Now,
what's interesting is Night of the Long Knives has come to be associated with Operation Hummingbird, but the phrase existed in the German language before this.
Oh, interesting.
It refers to acts of vengeance.
Right.
Oh.
It's a really cool, worst word I could possibly use, but it's like a cool name. It makes it sound really intriguing and dangerous. Night of the Long Knives. Because actually what happened was thugs broke in and went bang, 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 and stab, 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 stab.
Yeah,
It wasn't like ninjas. And
ninjas.
It's not like Kill Bill.
Imagine.
Imagine it was ninjas.
I think it was ninjas.
Ninjas did this on the Night of the Long Knives. Yeah, it's like the name of an old like Japanese movie from the 60s or something.
Yes, definitely a Kurosawa film.
Yeah.
The Long Knives,
Is that
it then?
That's pretty much. There was not, like I say, there was no mystery because it happened and Hitler had done it with like Himmler and Goering whispering in his ear to do it.
Gotcha.
Because, I guess,
like Trump.
I guess there's the mystery of like how many people actually were killed in it.
Yeah.
Was it 85? Was it 1,000? And then there's the sort of the intrigue of the falsified evidence against Ernst as well.
Yeah.
A little bit in the aftermath as well. Get this. At the time of this, because you know that there's the structure of the German hierarchy was the Chancellor, but there was also a President and a Prime Minister.
Yes,
that's right. Right? Yeah.
So the President at the time was Hindenburg, but he was on his way out. He was ailing health.
Mm-hmm. Right. Oh yeah.
But he was actually at the time a highly revered military hero. Mm-hmm. So after the Night of the Long Knives, there was a telegram from him that expressed profoundly felt gratitude and congratulated Hitler for nipping treason in the bud. However, fast forward years later to the Nuremberg trials. Hermann Göring admitted that that telegram was never sent by Hindenburg and it was actually written by the Nazis.
Right.
Oh, shit. So that was like an ego push for Hitler to be like, hey, good job, buddy.
Yeah.
Knowing that Hindenburg was on his way out. Now, Hindenburg dying also...
We fucked shit up.
Well, it kind of like...
Well, like a mini power vacuum of some kind?
Well, no, but it meant it was like Hitler could do away with the position, couldn't he?
Mm. Well, I guess that's what I mean. He's like, oh, that's gone.
Would Nobody is replacing
that?
Him.
Yeah, so then that's done. And did it happen to the president as well? Or the prime minister, sorry? He was the prime minister, wasn't he?
I get so confused anyway about the German political hierarchy.
Yeah, it's nuts, isn't it? Yeah.
Then when it gets all fucked up... during Nazi Germany, it's like, I don't know who is what.
No, of course. Yeah, it's all fucking nuts.
But Hitler, knowing that Hindenburg was going to probably die by the end of 1934, while this was all happening, Hitler informed the army hierarchy that Hindenburg's on his way out. And he proposed that they support Hitler himself as Hindenburg's successor. So, taking over. But the bargaining chip he did to say, like, hey, if you support me as succeeding Hindenburg, I will reduce the number of brown shirts and suppress Ernst Röhm and guarantee that you will be our only military force.
Yeah, gotcha.
So he was using Hindenburg's imminent death as a political
as leverage
tool.
Ooh.
Strange. I feel like maybe this is something they kind of might have covered in high school, but I don't feel like it is. I don't know about this. This is one of those things I'm like, would have been nice to have learned about this at some point. I mean, I'm learning about it now.
Yeah, they paid it lip service when I was at school. It was like, they said that there was such a thing as Night of the Long Knives, or they called it Operation Hummingbird, I think, and Kristallnacht. Didn't really go into detail about what they were.
Yeah,
very weird.
Yeah, like teaching, like all the context as we just went over it, it's like there's so much to unpack there of like the thing of, you know, Ernst being homosexual and being a close friend with Hitler, and everyone being like, but I thought he didn't like, and blah, blah, blah. And like there's so many conflicting things that it's like to a bunch of teenagers who, you know, were barely even focusing at that moment. Yeah, it's not even worth fucking...
Hitler's rise to power should be taught in schools. We've talked about this before. Because lessons of the past and all that. It's really hard to even begin to talk about all of it. Do you know what I mean?
Well, that's it, exactly.
It's so... Yeah, you could do, and they have done, enormous documentary series, immense books on the subject. You'll never cover all of it because it's so crazy. The pH levels of society had to be exactly correct for this to all happen. And it was, unfortunately. It could happen again.
Yeah, I know. It's what terrifies me.
Because right now they've evaded it in America, but instead they've got a government doing nothing instead.
But like very narrowly, it felt.
Yeah. Yeah, and he can come back. Like, it doesn't have to be Trump.
Well, yeah, exactly, because the Hitler staged a coup in 1924 and came to power in 1933. They staged a coup in 2021.
Yeah.
What happens 10 years from now?
It was such a shit coup.
So was Hitler's, though. Yeah.
Nah, I think this was lamer than Hitler's. Also, they had that president literally going, do it! Oh, my God, do it! It'd be so funny if you just did it. And they still fucked it up. They stole some post. Like,
you can't open that mail. It's a federal crime.
We got Nancy Pelosi's mail. Cut to that guy. I've got to serve 5 years in jail. It's really funny. They were crying in court going, but Donald Trump told me to do it.
I think that's why it's very, very different from Hitler's cures. I can't imagine any of them crying when they were arrested.
No, we got Ernst.
Have you watched 4 Hours at the Capitol yet?
Yeah, man.
No, I haven't seen it. No. Where's
it?
What's
it? It's on
iPlayer. It's really good. It's still there. It's still there. But anyway, that was great. Thanks,
you. Thanks, Chris. That is, again, it's one of those really great things that we did not know. Well, I certainly did not know much about. I definitely think Suze knew a lot more than I did about this. And
I didn't know all of it. My God.
Very, very informative.
Thank Ooh. You as well, them listeners.
Yeah, thanks for listening with your ears.
With your lovely ears.
You can find us on Twitter, twitter.com/mysteryontherocks, spoke with an X because X going to give it to you. You can find us on Patreon, patreon.com/mysteryontherocks, spelled CKS like a normal human being. It's worth going on our Patreon because if you pledge at the top level, every 3 months you get a free gift, t-shirt, mug, poster, hoodie!
Yeah, yeah.
And new exclusive content every day, outtakes, recipes, but you get all kinds of cool stuff. There's even like an exclusive podcast that me and Chris recorded when we were on the road together after doing a gig. Ooh, and we went mad on the road. Well, someone arrest those guys. You can listen to all of that on our Patreon and nowhere else. So
yes, yay. Absolutely join up and you can get all that sweet
stuff.
Thank you, everybody. Enjoy the rest of your week.
Yeah, happy January, but...
Bye!
Mystery on the rocks, oh yeah. Mystery on the rocks, yeah.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.